right, everyone. Terrence Pop here with another episode of Live from the Lair. All right, now I want you to take this into account here. This is 2004, 15, 16 years ago. And this is the computer cafe. All right. You basically could get on here, use a computer, do what you got to do, send your emails, and then over to the right were phones. And you could call, you had to sign up, wait on a waiting list. You know, I think you got 10 or 15 minutes. I took my own satellite phone. Actually, I didn't take it. I had it sent to me while I was there. So it was Iridium. I could do whatever I wanted. I just paid out the ass per minute. But yeah, this is pretty much how it went. You came in, you signed in. They assigned you one of the computers. They gave, and there was a number above each one. And you just did your deal. Worked out real good.
Loneliness, fear, shame, greed, and alienation. These are the emotional currencies passed under the table in this collection of neo-noir stories from the creator of Corporate Land. Whether it's the offices of Wall Street or the Shake It clubs in Texas, in a world where everyone has a price, Pretty Lies will die. Grab yourself a copy of Pretty Lies Perish today. A link is in the description.
I just put this in there. This is one of our teams right before they go out to do their deal. You can see they're wearing BDUs, and this is how they went out. And we had guys wearing baseball hats and what have you. Let me tell you, I caught all kinds of shit over this. I actually had to have a full bird sign a memo that these guys could, you know, modify their goddamn uniform as they see fit. Because regular army was throwing an absolute shit fit every time we came and went through their lines. You got a saw. Everyone else has M4s. All right, cool. All right, this is one of the MWR events that took place. I don't remember. I don't think I attended this one. This is from one of my soldiers sent this in. But that's pretty much how it was. They'd have, they would send whatever to do a tour. And that was it. I don't know if I was there for Robin Williams or not. I don't think I was. But it would have been nice to see him there. All right, now, this is basically what you don't do in Iraq. During the day, drive down a main MSR that is in the middle of the city. You go around the city. You try not to go through the city. This, I don't remember the name of that particular city that this happened in at that time. This was basically a big screw-up. They drove, it's right down the street from Abu. We drove right down there, hit the traffic circle. We got, like, one of the cops there said, don't stay here. We went, we left. Fallujah, that's it. That is the F up in Fallujah. And this was early in the deployment when we made this mistake. Luckily, we didn't get jumped. We drove out and we lived to tell the tale. All right, this is one of our teams chilling out during the day. They're outside the wire doing their deal. Now you'll see here, somebody took a picture of what the basic load was. The SOP I put out was 13 mags, 2 frags. If you have a pistol, you would have a pistol and 3 mags for that. And you would have a knife and a tomahawk, blah, blah, blah. Now there's 2 magazines per stack, and this is all the rounds that go inside all these magazines. That's a lot of rounds. But if there's only, you know, 5 to 7 of you, maybe 8 tops, 13 mags per person is a lot better than 6 or 7. Again, pig iron doors. Why we didn't have more people killed, I have no idea. And here we are flying over Iraq. And it looks fairly green until you get on the ground. And then when you're on the ground, it doesn't look so green unless you're right by you know, a water obstacle or something. There we are. Fly. This is one of the farms that's right outside Abu. I remember flying over a bazillion times because this dude dug several holes in his backyard that I would note and report up the chain. And when I was running the prison security, I went out here to see what the hell that guy was doing. So he's digging holes for, God, I think it was burying dead animals or something. All right, this is the aerial view over Victory. And those guys are flying in a Blackhawk, which has an M60 on it, which was weird. It's not one of ours. All right, this is one of the palaces that had a dome in it. I mean, all this is like gold, and this is insane. I mean, Saddam went through a lot of cash, needlessly and frivolously, in my opinion. All right, this is the view as we were flying out during mid-tour break. This is mid-tour break here. All right, now this is later on down the road, but this particular picture is what was collected from a couple of individuals that were captured putting in IEDs. They were armed. There's their shovel. And I believe the IED was left on the road and EOD came out and detonated it. This is just one of just a good view. Another one right there. The Middle East, you know, it's a beautiful place when people aren't trying to kill you and so forth. So, I mean, there were a lot of times where we saw a lot of good shit. This is the memorial for Sergeant, Gazowitz. She was an E4 at the time, E4 promotable. They promoted her to sergeant during the deployment sometime. She was friends with the 425 guys. In fact, she hung out there all the time. I think she was sweet on one of my guys. And I remember early on, I'm like, listen, I can't have you hanging around a company of airborne infantry because people are going to ask questions. And it's just bad form. And I'm like, if you're going to hang out here, you got to have a reason. So this is the reason. Every day, you're going to bring fresh intel in here and give us a up-to-speed, current intel dump. And then you can hang out here. Literally, we were working for an MI battalion. And the only way I could get current intel was to have a sergeant who worked there prepare it for us. It's insane. That is just stupid. But it happened every day. All right, that's it. I'm not going to go off in the weeds too much over this. All right, now here is a closer shot of the memorial for Sergeant Gazowitz, who was killed on the beginning of December 2004. Yeah, she got a Bronze Star, looks like an Archom, and a Purple Heart. And one of the things that really pissed me off about this particular situation is this particular soldier was well loved amongst the 425 guys. She was squared away. She came out with intel, helped us out. And the sad part is we worked for the 202 MI battalion, but we couldn't get intel from them unless we got it from her. So, I mean, it's just a bunch of bullshit. And she got killed on some bullshit run for like mail and toilet paper. You know, it was on a traffic circle. You know, even to this day, I have a hard time dealing with traffic circles, even here in states, stateside. Because virtually every time we entered a traffic circle, we were shot at. We saw other people being shot at. Let's see, they tried to blow our vehicles up or other convoys were hit, you know, in and around the same time we were there. So, yeah, Yeah, it's sad. And, you know, her parents, I think they're from New York somewhere. And about 4 or 5 years ago, you know, I got a hold of all the guys, and they all put together little letters to the family, and we sent them to her. I think it was Depew, New York, I think. This one really hurt. All right, so we're going to move on. All right, this is a picture of the porta shitter. Actually, it's not a porta. It's a porta shower thing that was like a trailer they dropped off in front of our building. And this one was hit with a 61 millimeter mortar. And unfortunately, there was a couple individuals in the trailer when it was hit. Nobody was on the shitter, so they were fine. and when it got hit, there was probably 6 or 8 dudes running out of there naked. One of them had soap in his hair. I don't blame them. But yeah, I mean, literally the side of the trailer was hit, and you can see right here in the picture where it blew the toilet literally into the stall next to it. Good times. All right, now this is a Humvee that was hit by a IED between Abu and Victory. All right, this happened all the time. There were many times, like literally, we would roll up after the fact and the vehicles would just be left unsecured like this, just willy-nilly, which is, you're not supposed to do this. You're supposed to keep people on scene until you can get a wrecker out there to pick it all up. Because when you leave it like this, they put, you know, a roadside, or they put bombs, booby traps, even more IEDs on the side of the road. Now, fortunately for us, like, this literally happened, you know, we heard it on the radio about 15 minutes away from us, and by the time we got there, this is what we saw. And we did wind up, you know, hooking up this vehicle and dragging it to Victory to get it off the road, because because somebody else would come behind us and it would just turn into one big giant clusterfuck. All right, let's move over to some other pictures here. Let's see what we got. Now, these aren't in any particular order, so we're just going to start off here. All right, now this is a genuine Miller beer with Arabic on it. You can see here NA stands for non-alcoholic. There's no alcohol in there. We called it, I don't remember what we called it, but I had 2 pallets of this, and I literally horse traded all this shit for everything from ammo to weapon parts to tires, brake pads, you name it. All right, this really did come in handy. And you can't have the beer without the Coke. This is Coca-Cola made with cane sugar, and it has the old pull tops that come completely off the can. And we drank the shit out of this, and it wasn't that bad, I'm just going to say. And this is April 7th. This is right before the big April 10th shootout and craziness. It was starting to heat up real crazy around us and Victory. All right, this is on the 9th. This is a civilian vehicle. It belonged to a bunch of contractors who lived in our building, and they got tore up a little bit. You can see here this window's hit. There's a bullet going through that back window and here in this door here. This is not armored. Okay, so this got hit. There was one person in the back, one person back here pulling rear security, and 2 people up front. This guy here got some stitches in his face, but other than that, everyone was fine. All right, now this is the convoy where Craig Maupin was snatched. That is literally just under a mile away from the front gates of Abu Ghraib prison. All right, those are our vehicles back there. And that is our water buffalo and all the other crap that supported my company when I was there. All right, this is really creepy. All right, here is on Victory. This is where some British soldiers were stationed. I did some horse trading with these guys. I traded them a Green Beret, a bunch of Ranger tabs, the Special Forces tabs for the Death or Glory, let's say one of their light armored cav units. And they have some kind of lineage that goes back to the Charge of Light Brigade. Yeah, we did a lot of trading with those guys. I also traded with the Australians. Both those guys were pretty cool. I mean, the Brits were hilarious. The Australians were great. I sat in on a couple of operation orders given by the Brits, and I don't know how they don't get more people killed, because that shit is absolutely insane. Now, the Aussies, the Australians, they plan and execute missions very close to how we do it here in the United States, how American soldiers do it. British, not so much. All right, now this picture here was taken, now this was at Victory, one of the BAH hotels or whatever, because I spent a couple nights on Victory back then. And this stairwell was quite literally right outside my door. We are on a secured perimeter. So, you know, you shouldn't be hearing people talking in Arabic, especially in the middle of the night. So, on, was it three or four different occasions? It was like two times one night, and then one time a couple times in other nights that I stayed there. Well, you literally heard people speaking in Arabic and walking up and down the stairs. And they weren't like quietly walking up and down the stairs. It really sounded like two people having a conversation, and they were walking down the stairs, you know, at a heavy clip. On one of these occasions, I heard the sounds on the stairs. I heard the talking in Arabic. I literally opened the door, looked down the stairs, and there was fuck all there. And it literally sounded like it was just outside my door. And just to, you know, make sure that I didn't imagine this shit, I literally walked down those stairs, checked out that there was a little lobby room down there, and I walked up two flights up. It was like 1 a.m, nobody was there. You can't explain that shit away. Okay, that whole place is just stupid haunted. All right, now this is a building on Victory. Actually, this is on the Slayer compound, which is across the street from Victory. And it had an ass load of vacant buildings around the man-made lakes and so forth that were on this compound. Now, this particular compound was prepared by us starting in May, and we did move on to this compound in July. All right, so we were actually, you know, scouting out the buildings, setting aside which ones we're going to use, and putting in the work orders to get the water up and running, and the electricity and so forth, and the basically the network lines that went from our buildings to battalion and then up over onto Victory proper. So, you know, we were getting up to speed on Slayer. All right, now this is basically one of my LERS teams. I believe this is 3rd Platoon. They're under a camo net in a hole waiting for the sun to go down. Now, they were dropped off roughly somewhere between 6 and 7 at night. It gets dark around 9:30, 10. So they had to lay low for, you know, 3 or 4 hours before they continued on with their on-foot patrols around Baghdad. All right, this is another team which took some pictures of their hide site from the outside. And now off, which you can't see here, but off to the side here is, It wasn't the main river that ran through there, but it was one of the other tributaries. And my guys were basically babysitting this, waiting for people to be setting up mortars, rockets, running ammunition and explosives, or setting up IEDs during the night. And a lot of times they cross the water obstacles to do so. And there were a few decent, juicy shootouts that took place between my men and the bad guys that were out there doing their deal. All right, next one. And now, I wasn't there for this. I was already medevaced out of the country. I left like November 4th or 5th. But this is my guys, you know, setting up their Christmas tree stuff. I mean, that's just the way we are. We're Christians, we're not Muslim. So, I mean, this is what we did. All right, now this actually is a road on victory. And I always liked driving down this particular stretch because it was always quiet and slow. There was hardly any vehicles on it. But you can see that, you know, not everything in the desert is sand and rocks. This is actually, for whatever reason, you know, I would drive down this, you know, stretch of road on victory when I was there on post just for a few seconds of zen. All right, because literally I was worrying about the lives of 159 men in three different locations all over the country. People are getting mortared and IED'd and shot at every day. Okay, so whenever you can get a moment to just mentally chill, it really helps out. All right, now this one here, this is actually one of the barracks on Victory that was hit by a Kardouche rocket. Okay, I don't think I have the second picture here, but basically it detonated outside and the blast lifted the roof off of the trailer, just peeled it off. And these are ceiling tiles that fell down into the room. All right, now this actually goes back. This is us in Michigan packing up our shit to basically get transported down to Fort Bliss, Texas. All right. A bag, B bag, rucksack, and then everyone had a basically a tough box to put shit in. And that's all you got. Either you fit it in there, or like me, you had it mailed to you after the fact. Worked like a charm. All right, now here is a picture of Company F 425, headquarters, all the platoons right there. And this is taken, I think, 2 weeks before, maybe 3 weeks before we left Fort Bliss to go to Iraq. All right, now this is another picture. I think I showed this to you in the first or second one of the entire hallway that ran down the cell block here. And each one of these doors ran off into hallways that had more cells. And then there's usually a courtyard attached to each one. Okay, and, you know, down the road, I'm going to cover this and try to get some footage of some of the ghost phenomena or supernatural phenomena that we did see there on a regular basis. It's just, I don't have any actual footage from that time period that was going on here. But, you know, I probably got 50 or 60 stories from different guys all over the country who saw all kinds of crazy shit, to include the Brits in that building I just showed you the picture of, because I actually would go over and these guys would drink. They were allowed to have alcohol, and we would chill, and they would just tell me all the crazy shit that they saw in and around that building. And it was crazy! Again, it's the same thing. This is a better picture of the long hallway that runs down the length of each cell block. These are contract Hajis doing what they do, which is stand around, get paid, and do nothing. All right, so basically, this is an overhead map. All right, this is Baghdad. This is Abu Ghraib right here. Here's the prison. And then there's basically surrounded by, you know, Abu Ghraib, which was actually a small suburb of Baghdad. All right, and down here was, I believe, Baghdad International Airport is, I believe, right off the map right in here. All right, gonna move on to the next one. All right, this is the actual compound as it was in 2003 of Abu Ghraib Prison. My guys are responsible for manning the towers that ran along this far wall here, this one here, all the way up to, I believe, right here. So we covered basically 70% of the perimeter. All right, this one, this tower here was hanging. The foundation had been partially blown, and the whole tower was hanging at a weird angle, so we never used this one. But we had people in all of these other towers here. Now, there was a tower right here. I believe this is, what, Tower 4, which overlooks the apartment buildings that I talked about in the first video on this. This is a mosque right here across the street. All right. And off to this side here, just under a mile away, was basically an overpass that was elevated quite high, and they would fire Kardush rockets into the compound from there all the time. I think we took, in the time we were at Abu, between January and when we left there mid-June, I think we had 8 rocket attacks from that location. All right, now you'll see here, this is the buildings, basically the cell block where my guys lived while we're on Abu. All right, this is basically what the 202MI commander was having built for us to move into, which had no overhead cover. It had, you know, concrete walls or what have you, but it's out here in the open. It's utter stupidity. I don't know if anyone actually moved into this or not, but we didn't. We moved out of there before that took place. All right, now over here in this area, it was uncovered. 3 different mass graves. One of them was roughly 2.5 to 3 years old, and the other two were newer. Okay, and they had bulldozed the top foot off of the soil and pushed it along this wall. And that soil was full of teeth and bones and flip-flops and, you know, rags of rotted clothing. And it just stunk to high heaven. It just smelled like rotten meat. It was not good. Okay, now, if you look over here, in this area here, they actually assembled a low-priority camp. It's not here in this picture because it hadn't been put up yet. And there was one here, and then there was one over here as well. At one point, we had roughly 5,500 enemy combatants detained inside the walls of this prison. And there was only maybe 4,000 U.S. personnel, so we were outnumbered inside and outside. All right. Okay, now, over here, you really don't see here, but this area was a huge water obstacle, and it was basically where Haji would go and dump all of the fecal material from the porta potties. All right, and then we had a tower right here. So when the wind would blow across the prison, the people in this tower were literally bombarded with just raw stank of sewage and, you know, dead bodies, and it was just savage. Just savage. All right, and the chow hall was right in this area here. Like, literally, we'd walk out of our cell block, walk across this open area to get over here to use the computer lounge, the phone, and, you know, eat chow.
even though we were getting 3 to 5 mortar attacks a day. Not a good time. All right, this is another close up here. This is from 2002, 2003. And you can see how this all works out. Each one of these is basically a cell block, and it has its own, you know, prisons and courtyards, you know, and we basically had soldiers living in these things, and it was insane. Okay, this place, in my opinion, I'm just going to say this right now, I think it's probably one of the most haunted places on the planet Earth. Okay, I mean, it was the numbers, I think. So when Saddam took over the country until he was ousted, 1.4 million people went to this prison, and somewhere in the neighborhood of 800,000 to 1 million never came out. Nothing good happened here. You can see more. This right here. More of the cell block structures. There we go. And this is the one that the Marines lived in, the active duty Marines. And this down here at the end was actually a range that we were using. We later on, you know, quit using it and then blocked it off because rumor has it there was all kinds of crazy stuff going on there that may have been part of the, I don't know, supernatural family. And they just quit using it. They said, fuck this, moved out, blocked it off. Okay, this, yeah, here they are building that horse shit that they wanted us to live in, which is stupid. Yep, bring back a lot of bad memories here, but what are you going to do? Yeah, so I went through a bunch of my old computers and I dug this all up so you guys can see, you know, what the hell was going on here. Like, this was not a good deal. You know, I have no idea why they moved U.S. Soldiers into this entire accursed compound. Creep. I mean, every waking moment I was in this compound, the hair on the back of my neck stood up. And I always felt like I was being watched. You know, at night I'd hear shit. I had soldiers seeing stuff. Yeah. This place is unbelievably evil. You know, that and on top of, you know, the mosque on the outside here, and they're always on their megaphone, you know, death to Americans, and how they're going to come knock down the wall and cut off all our heads and blah, blah, blah. So all I can really say is I'm glad I made it out of there. I'm glad all my men made it out of there. And yeah, and I'm glad that was my last deployment for this country. That was it. Now, I had been approached to go to Afghanistan on one occasion and Iraq again on another occasion, and then to Northern Africa with the civil affairs. And all three of them required me to volunteer. And I told the commanders that were in command of those missions, I'm not volunteering for shit. All right, if I come down on orders, I will go. But I am not going to raise my hand and do that shit again if I don't have to. Especially Afghanistan. Because I remember in 1980 watching that shit on TV, and I just got this horrible feeling that if I ever went there, I would die. So, there you have it. The final installment of Pop's trip to Iraq. I hope you guys liked it. Take it easy.